Welcome to the Smoke and Rope Podcast, the show that brings together Michigan's top cannabis growers, advocates, and business owners to offer a fresh and honest perspective of Michigan's cannabis industry. Stick with us to get the lowdown from the people who have been on the ground floor of cannabis business in Michigan and gain insights into where the industry may be heading.
All right, welcome to the Smoke and Rope Podcast. Today we are on episode 3, and today we're going to talk about what it took and how the four of us on here got our businesses or our licenses. Have had a lot of feedback asking how and what's the path and asking for advice, and I think we're all open books about it and love to give it. So with that, I want to introduce my co-hosts, Tom Beller with Real Leaf Solutions. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Ryan.
Sam Brzezinski with Fresh Coast Extracts. What's going on, Sam?
Hey, how are we doing, Ryan?
Doing well, doing well. And Kevin Pybus over at True Cannabis. Hey, Kevin.
What's up, Ryan? How's it going, buddy?
Going great, going great. This is something that's fun for me to talk about, and I think you guys too, because it's, you know, it's our lives and all the things that we've had to overcome to get here. And you're gonna enjoy talking about that this week. Next week we'll get into a few other things and start having some more interviews of people in the industry. But today, Michigan Pure Med actually raised the question right away on Instagram and wanted to know, like, how did we get in the industry? How did we get our license or branding? And just looking to for people out there that are trying to break through a path. So real quick on myself, because I like hearing these three guys' stories more than my own, but it's really taken me about 11 years since I broke into the cannabis industry and quit my other career in 2009. So along the way, I've taken a lot of losses, just a lot of them by the government or the laws or just a lot of things in general. And, you know, the biggest thing for me before I want to ask these guys about their businesses before I talk about the brand, but one thing I had to do was develop skills. So I developed skills like social media, growing, networking, and then finding real estate. Right now, if somebody was able to find a piece of real estate before Green Zone and they knew somebody on the council or figured out a way and got a piece of real estate that's for a good location, you right away now can get into the industry with some part ownership or make a deal. So I've done that. I know a lot of other people hustling have done that as well. But yeah, I want to stop talking here. I'll get into my story later, and just wanted to talk to start off with the young guy first, Sam. I know you've been a caregiver since you were 18, 10 years ago, and there's probably been a long path, a long journey. Tell everyone kind of how you got to where you're at. I know part of the story, but would love to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it started back in 2008. You know, before you have a workable business model, you need to first learn and you need to be able to understand what you're doing in the first place. And that comes with understanding the business, its participants, and the legal landscape. And so that's why we started young. And it gave us the ability to kind of learn through the changing evolution of the legal landscape. And along with that, the advances in technology. Throughout there, we scoped some market opportunities, specifically the idea of not only cultivation of flowers, but what that could be done and how we could evince those flavor profiles, you know, in principles in art of extraction. And that's when we really realized that we had something there. That was a proof of concept that we took, and we leveraged our professional network to work with a group that was looking at raising some funds out of state. We had brought those funds in state to look at the prospects of Michigan relative to some of the other more stringently regulated states. And so throughout that process, you know, you're absolutely right. Real estate, especially back in 2016, 2017, was the most coveted piece of the whole puzzle. Finding a municipality to take you in was by and large the biggest challenge that we faced. So when we started looking at available parcels, you know, I started with, you know, I tried to get a first mover advantage. I started to leverage my own equestrian farm that was up in Leelanau County and tried to basically bring the mountain to Mohammed, so to speak. And that, you know, as I'm sure we'll discuss in later iterations of the show, backfired heavily. There was some positives that we created out of that situation, mainly meeting you, Ryan. And then all the while, you know, some of the projects that you were working on and our relationship had drove me to go into the village of Kalkaska, which is really where we found the real estate in a municipality that welcomed us with open arms. There's three primary components that we face getting a license, you know, one of which is the real estate. The second of which is the financial component. And the third part is the staff. The staff makes up the culture, the staff makes up the experience, the staff makes the products. And so with those three pivotal components, you end up achieving licensure. And throughout that process, there's no easy way to go about it. You got to run your head against the wall enough times to, you know, you're bound to get through on the other side, but you have to have persistence. And so I'm not a particularly smart individual, but I am a very convicted individual. And with that, it's inspiring. And the people that you inspire along the way often become your team members. And that's why I'm fortunate enough to be graced in the presence of you three individuals today on the show. So it's just hard work and persistence in a good team that surrounds you.
That's great, Sam. Now I'm gonna ask you a quick question here. I'm gonna ask the other two guys as well. If I was someone that was hungry to get in the industry or in the industry, and what are you looking for somebody approaching you? How, like, as far as the way they approach, what they're willing to do, their attitude? Because I see a lot of guys right now, like, I believe, you know, you need take a job at a Fresh Coast Extracts, work your butt off, and then work another 30 hours or 20 hours, you know, on the side to develop your own brand or do something like that. We'll get into that, but I'm just curious, what are you looking for somebody, a man or woman that's looking to get in, and what type of qualities, and what would you give them for advice?
Oh man, that's a great question. We're going through another hiring sprint. So, I mean, it was literally the call that I got off just before jumping on the show today. Number one, it's passion. Number two, it's acuity. And it's the combination of those two attributes that really make the synergies and make them a great partner to jump on our team. It's hard to teach passion for the industry. And I think by and large, it's the secret sauce that, you know, Kevin has, it's what Tom has, it's what you have, Ryan. And that's something that can't be taught. It's something that has to be experienced. And that's something that has to be lived throughout the last couple of years. It's evident when you're talking to somebody who is well-versed and knowledgeable about the industry, its life cycle, its history. That gives you an amazing edge over some of these multi-state operators that have came into this space and the recruiting talent that has little to no experience in the market. So I think that's probably the largest competitive advantage. The second component is having strong traditional education in whatever related or unrelated fields that could be applied to the space, whether it be accounting, whether it be construction, whether it be, you know, processing in some other relation, whether it be oil refinement, other lab sciences. You know, those are things that we look for because those are where the synergies get created of things that we may have, you know, initially overlooked the operating procedures that could potentially be applied to new product formulations. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks. I agree with all that. Hey, next, I want to ask Tom Beller at Relief Solutions. I've had the pleasure of watching Tom go from getting his real estate and local approval all the way through the state and, build his own building, write his own application, bring in his own plans, grow him, kind of has done it all. So, that's not something that is common at all. Kevin's the same way. But go ahead, Tom. How did you get there?
Oh, man. It's a long road. A lot of bumps and turns and yield signs, pivots, but persistent. I mean, following Sam had a really eloquent response there. I'm trying not to be too rambly on my answer. I wrote my own application, like you mentioned. We purchased the property cash, basically, from the village. And we went on the faith that our hard work and perseverance would get us a license. And even though it was almost, completely shut down by Johnson and Bailey when there was the bummer board, the other three on the board were in favor of our pre-qualification, That day was just crushing, though. I had a two no's right in a row and then three yeses.
Yep, and very famously, I'll never forget it. I was watching at a board party we were having. We'd go watch with some friends, and Don Bailey accused you of laundering money through your laser light company. So that was some marijuana history right there.
Watching that, we call the game tape there. We used to watch those BMMR meetings. We just call the game tape, watching what the yeses and nos would land. And I remember that with Tom. And my heart just sank because I met him just a few weeks prior at a Kalkaska Village meeting. So, gosh.
Yeah, we had a lot of money on the line, and we had already, you know, built out half of our facility at that time. You know, we were going, like I said, going on faith that, you know, a proper application, we had the proper capitalization, everything was in, you know, all of our ducks were in a row. We had several CPAs look at all of our books to make sure that everything was good. And the only problem they had is that I paid taxes on my caregiver income that I had from previous years as a caregiver. And that threw them for a loop. And Bailey definitely did not like that. And that was really what the core of the issue was. You know, my understanding was that you pay taxes on all income, regardless of its source. And I was correct. He was wrong. And the board is no more. So all the people listening who are wondering how they can get in, at least the barrier to entry, albeit may seem very high, still, it is not as high as when that board was in charge of everyone's fate. I think the MRA is doing a much more fair job of their assessment of people's applications. So, you know, just hard work. You know, we started our second building. Now we're building out another facility because we can't keep up with demand. And it's a beautiful place to be. But the road here has been very, you know, it's been an emotional roller coaster. But we love being here. We're a family owned and operated company, and we're going to keep it that way. And that's it is possible for caregivers to have a path. And then even if you don't have the capitalization that the state requires for now for a medical license, in order to get a rec license, there are options for micro businesses. And I think that's a pretty good entry into the market for caregivers if they don't have the capitalization that that's required for some of the Class B or Class C licenses.
Shoot, or their Class A grow for 100 plants. I mean, you know, what a great, you know, and you don't need a medical license to the 2-year window. So if you're a marijuana felon like me, you can go out and get 100 plants and be in the market. So, yeah, good point. So, Tom, what are you looking for when someone's coming to look for a job or you meet somebody networking? As far as what qualities, what do they need to do? What do they need to be showing you to kind of get your attention?
Well, knowledge and passion for cannabis is number one. Number two is trustworthiness. It's good to know people's backgrounds. We tend to hire more through networking, through close friends and family. We're mostly a friends and family operated business, not just family owned, but we have family members and close friends. And it's a pretty tight knit group. But I mean, really, we have to know that the people that are coming into our facility on a daily basis are trustworthy and knowledgeable of cannabis. Most people can be trained to perform certain duties, but you can't. Those are the two things you can't teach.
Nope, that's it. And you got a great team up there, and it's not easy hiring people. You know, people are out there looking for jobs, but so it's pretty impressive. Like I said before, so good, fun Michigan caregiver, the licensee story. Kevin at True Cannabis, like Tom, you've done pretty much everything on your own and raised yourself up from the bootstraps and caregiving and worked your way into some licenses and learned how to grow great cannabis. So, and tell everyone about that.
Well, you know, as far as, you know, getting into the industry, you know, I got into the industry, you know, it was in 2002. So it was 18 years ago. You know, and when I first started, I bought a 250 watt outside metal or high pressure sodium light. I rigged it up with an extension cord from Home Depot and ran it in my closet because there weren't grow stores readily available. I didn't know if I ordered something online, if the police were going to deliver it, you know, like I was really nervous about the whole situation. And so I started off with, you know, a 250 watt light, you know, started to grow a few plants. Craigslist kind of came online at that point. And I was able to find some used equipment on Craigslist, which made me feel a little bit more comfortable because it wasn't dealing with a box store or having to go in somewhere. I could meet somebody more discreetly and kind of get some equipment and, you know, started to kind of roll from there. You know, made some bad investments, but learned along the way. Eventually moving back to Michigan from Colorado in 2014. when we got back here, you know, we didn't really know what to do. We didn't have a store in mind. And so, you know, we had talked to my local city council. The mayor was a friend of mine actually from Howell. And he had talked to me about them potentially doing an ordinance in Howell and, you know, put me in contact with an attorney that was working in that area. Through that, I joined an association that was working towards writing legislation. In doing so, they had a fundraiser dinner, and Virge Monero actually spoke at the fundraiser dinner, and he had said, you know, we'll basically roll the green carpet out for anybody that wants to come set up a business in our town. And literally the next day, we shot up to Lansing. I had kind of had an eyeball on this particular property on the north side of Lansing that I had searched out, and I knew it had met all the criteria from what they had wrote in the law in Colorado. And I assumed that, you know, being that this was relatively new, that they would be going off, you know, legislation from other states. And sure enough, they implemented those things, like 1,000 feet from a park and a church and a school and all that. We had that buffer all beat out. And in buying that building, we met a realtor in Lansing that was one of the biggest commercial realtors here in Lansing. And he turned us on to a couple of more buildings, did some research on those buildings for growing, and they met the buffer and just kind of kept, you know, spreading out from there. At the time when we got up here at the perfect time. There was a lot of property available. The cat wasn't out of the bag yet. People really didn't know what to expect. That got us a lot of leverage in moving forward. You know, for a new person trying to get into the industry, I think that they have a whole different set of tasks to try to keep up with than what I did. I had a lot of time to learn and grow into my position. I think that someone new to this industry would have to have, you know, tempered expectations. I don't think that you're going to walk into a facility and take a job as a grower right away. You're probably going to walk in and get a job that's more on the, you know, on the trimming end or something like that, where you can kind of maybe learn to improve yourself as you go. That takes time. And like Ryan had said, I think, you know, caregivers being able to get a 100 plant license, that's a great way to get in for relatively cheap. It was a tough road. We learned a lot along the way. We were able to get a license, and, you know, that's where we're at today.
No, that's great. And I know you're getting ready to step up from your Class A to your Class C as well, and we'll be eventually be hiring people and looking for people that have those qualities. So, you know, I think a lot about Michigan as far as somebody that's just with passion and an idea. Probably next to Oklahoma, it's definitely it's the number one state. And as far as somebody being able to get into it, even with felons and even with little or no money sometimes. So one person would be good to interview sometime. I've been impressed with is we know Kyle Miller. He first met Kyle, and he was working on Prop 1, the legalization campaign, getting to know people. Worked real hard on that. Wanted to get in the industry, loved it, and he's a patient, and took a job with Sensi Connect with Jamie Cooper up there and went around the state, networked, and really worked hard. And then he got a job with Metz Cafe, and he's doing a great job as their one of their buyers. He's doing a wonderful job, and now he's worked himself into being part owner of a a Class B grow in Ionia. So that's somebody that's it's a cool story. It's fun to watch. It is possible. It's happening all around us. And Michigan does give you that opportunity. If you're a caregiver and you know, the first thing I would say is, all right, get it tested. Get it tested in the new market. And if you can pass, now you have something that's like on your resume. Or if you want to do 100 plant grow and work to find somebody that wants to invest a couple hundred grand into it, you need to show, put your money where your mouth is and pass those tests. Because if you can't, then there's no point of even getting into it. It's not easy. It's gotten easier with rec as they've laid off the mold and criteria CFUs, but as these guys I'm sure can attest, it's a concern at first. There's a lot of failure. I think half the plants failed so far in the state of Michigan. So do that, pass the test. One thing that worked for me is when I got out of prison, I just decided I'm gonna have to do a lot of work for free, and I'm gonna need to make people money and show value. So I just worked and then did extra stuff free of charge and eventually built relationships. And I ended up getting I was consulting, doing a lot of that in the real estate. And that's how I met Gage, and that turned into them being impressed with me by working hard and you know, being professional. And they gave me the $50,000 grant. So that's what kind of brought me in. And that's something that right now I'm with a brand. So I have Redemption, and I was able to start it with that 50 grand. You could do it for less. It allowed me to do it, I think, the right way, you know, and 100%. But, you know, right now it's just a license agreement. So if you're someone that's been in the industry, you got a great idea, you're passionate, come up with a brand and start pitching it to growers. Because right now the current market is on rec side. People are getting up to 4,000 a pound, and barely anyone's branding themselves at all right now. It's I feel like all of us on this show are ahead of the curve on that. But a lot of the people are just sticking it in turkey bags and have no plans because it's easy. But in 2 or 3 years, the supply is going to catch up with the market, and what happens then? And some of these growers that don't know much about branding or didn't work at it, they're going to have trouble selling their product. They're going to need brands. They're going to need salespeople. So there's a way to do it. If anyone listening has a grower that or a processor that wants to work with them and they think it's viable, shoot me a message. I'll give you the playbook. I'd love to see people do that and succeed. So that's really, as far as I'm concerned, Michigan cannabis has a lot of opportunities. All these guys talked about it is, you know, passion, passion, passion. So if you're passionate about it, go after it, and be ready to take losses too. It took me 11 years, and it wasn't easy, but you got to keep going. So with that, I wanted to ask these guys if they have each one of you, if you have any closing thoughts. Kevin, anything you want to finalize before we get going?
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up what I said earlier about tempering expectations. You know, I don't mean to, you know, dissuade anybody to not want to try to do this. My point behind it is, as you just mentioned, you know, it's been 18 years of hard work, busting my ass to get to where I'm at today. And I'm still not where I need to be. And so I just think that sometimes you hear on the news, that there's just so much money being made and there's, you know, jump into the industry. I just want people to understand it's a lot of hard work. It's not sitting back, hanging out, you know, watching plants grow. It's a lot of work, in all facets. You know, you had mentioned, you know, marketing and sales and distribution and all the other things, cleaning and ordering and packaging and, you know, the accounting and being able to do applications, like Tom said, and talk to municipalities and try to speak well so that they respect you and treat you, you know, fairly. And it's a lot of hard work. And so I just don't want anybody to feel like, that they're going to walk in somewhere and get something right away for nothing. It's a big investment. And that's where I was coming from.
No, that's great advice. And you're right on all of that. And There's no freebies. There's no easy rides in Michigan cannabis. You know, you gotta work for it. Those days, if they were ever here, are over. But Tom, you got anything you'd like to add?
I mean, Kevin nailed it. You know, if you are a caregiver and you are passionate about what you do, and you feel that you want to continue in the regulated industry, you know, you have to put in your time, you have to put in your money. There's a lot of money involved. I mean, it's like Kevin said, it's not just chilling. It's a lot more. There's so much more work now in a regulated market than there was just with caregiver exchanges and things of that nature that you have to you have to do it. Because guess what? You are now part of a regulated industry, probably the heaviest regulated industry in the country, more so than liquor or casinos. So, you know, be prepared to have all of your T's and your I's taken care of. Read the law. Read all of the bulletins. Sign up for the MRA bulletin so they come to your email box every day. Stay up on everything because it changes quickly and you're expected. There's no guidebook. There's no one to hold your hand. So you have to do all of the legwork yourself. But you can do it as a caregiver. You just have to be able to do all those things unless you can afford to pay other people a hell of a lot of money to do it for you. And that's where the barriers of entry start to get higher and higher because there's so much to it. And they didn't make it easy on purpose, right? But you can do it.
Yeah, I like that.
Build a rapport with the MRA when you're working with them. Don't cop an attitude just because they're the man, right? They're good people that work there, and they actually want to see people succeed. As long as you're, like I said, if you know what's going on, if you know their rules, then you're in good shape. Be a good person.
Nope, that's great advice. Treat people how you want to be treated. We always talk about it. It's all relationships. The only reason we're all here is our relationships. The only reason you guys are working with me is because, you know, our relationship. We had history together, so I earned your trust. I feel like that. And also join the Michigan Cannabis Industry Association if you want to network and meet actual the business owners. There's a lot of old caregivers in there. But Sam, what advice do you have?
Oh man, that's a great question. You know, show up, get involved, and most importantly, be passionate about what you're doing. You know, everyone, when we talk about the financial component and the rules and the regulations, it's often met with a heavy hand and in a really deep sigh. And I get that. But for people who are truly interested in getting into the licensed market, get prepared to not take a paycheck. Be happy with working with, you know, with the plant, with the people, with the product. If you truly care that much about the industry, that level of aptitude and that persistence and that personality will lead you to success. You have to be patient though, because everyone's figuring it out. And each day comes with its own set of challenges. And nobody at the MRA, nobody who is going to be, you know, you're going to be working with, or even some of the people that you employ or you're employed by will know the answers, because a lot of this is being fielded for the first time. So you have to be patient, and you also have to have a lot of passion. And if you've got those qualities, you're going to be successful. The money will follow.
Yep, without a doubt, without a doubt. And, you know, I just want to close with caregivers thinking about getting into the, or why should they even get into the market? And right now, until October 1st, caregiver cannabis is being allowed to be put into the medical market, tested. You know, we feel like there's definitely a hands-off approach from the law enforcement in Michigan because of that. What happens after that, I don't know. It's probably never been a better time to be a caregiver in Michigan right now. But thinking long-term, if you want to do this forever and be safe, and all right, get yourself a 100-plant grow. If you're that good, you can find the money. Get yourself a partner if you can't. And grow it, build your brand. Right now in Michigan, the little guys, and I consider us the little guys, are, in my opinion, putting out a very superior product to the big guys. And do that, put out a better product. Next thing, you know, prove that and get yourself up to a 500 and then 1,000. So it's gonna take work. You're gonna have to succeed and prove yourself, but there's going to be a lot of people coming up and doing that. So with that, I want to thank Tom, Sam, and Kevin with being with me one more week. And next week, stay tuned. We got an exciting guest that we'll be announcing here in a couple of days. So thank you, guys, and we will see you next week.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
The Smoking Rope Podcast is produced and hosted by me, Ryan Basor, the owner of Redemption Cannabis. Have ideas for episode topics or would like to be a guest on the show? Contact us at ryanb@redemptioncanna.com. Thanks for being along for the journey.